grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How familiar are you with the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? It's a story worth hearing many times. Joseph's great-grandfather was Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation and that all the world would be blessed through him. The nation, of course, would be the Jews, and the ultimate blessing would be the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, later called Israel, and Israel begat Joseph. As someone once said, they did a lot of begetting in those days. It's important to notice that Jacob had 12 sons in total from his two wives and his two servants. It was never God's intention for people to have more than one spouse. God created us male and female, and a husband and wife become one flesh. It appears that God tolerated polygamy, especially when it was necessary for humans to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Whatever, though, two or more consenting adults agree to is not necessarily moral and should not be legal. Anyway, Joseph was the first son of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. That there would be favoritism and jealousy in polygamous marriage, leading to conflict and abuse, may be one reason that God forbids it. Just the fact that God opposes it is enough to convince us not to participate in it. Jacob seemed to have favored Joseph over his other brothers because of the circumstances of Joseph's birth. Actually, God also had a special purpose for Joseph's life. The most important thing, or the most thing usually associated with Joseph, is the coat of many colors that his father gave him, a gift that his brothers did not receive. In addition to its fancy coloring, scholars say that such a coat would have had long sleeves, unlike work clothes, which had short sleeves for practical purposes. This dress code implied that Joseph was an exalted manager and his brothers were lowly laborers. That did not sit well with the brothers. To make matters worse, Joseph had a dream, had several dreams actually, that he told his family about. In one, he was a big sheaf of wheat, and his brothers were also sheaves of wheat that bowed down to him. In another, his father, mother, and brothers were the sun, moon, and stars, and they all bowed down to Joseph as well. This exacerbated his brothers' anger at him to the boiling point. They could not perceive that God had special plans for Joseph. As we've noted before, most biblical families are not perfect. They are as dysfunctional as ours, if not more so. If there is rivalry and jealousy and deceit in your family, that, of course, is not good, but it is typical. One day, Joseph and his brothers were out in the field tending sheep. The brothers said, "Let's get rid of that dreamer who thinks that he's better than we are." First, they throw Joseph in a well. Then they sold him to some slave traders. So much for brotherly love, huh? To cover their crime, they killed a sheep and smeared its blood on the fancy coat. Then they went home and told their father that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal and presented the blood-stained coat as evidence. It broke Jacob's heart. And what could be worse for Joseph than being sold into slavery? But God was with Joseph. He had a plan for him. Joseph wound up in Egypt. Even though he was a slave, everything he touched prospered. God made him successful. Joseph became the servant of a wealthy man named Potiphar. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household. But there was trouble. Potiphar's wife lusted for the handsome Hebrew Joseph. She tried to seduce him, but he refused. Joseph would not act immorally and disobey his God, nor would he disrespect his master, although Joseph was just a slave. When Potiphar's wife tried to force herself on Joseph, he ran away and she accused him of trying to violate her. Although innocent, Joseph was put in jail. Yet even in jail, God was with Joseph. The warden could see how Joseph was blessed, and he put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. In the prison were two VIP inmates, the Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. They both had dreams that Joseph interpreted. The baker's dream meant that Pharaoh was going to have him executed, and he was. The cupbearer's dream meant that he would be freed and restored to the royal court, and he was. Joseph asked the cupbearer to mention him to Pharaoh, and he said that he would, but he forgot. Sometime later, Pharaoh had a dream that none of his advisors could interpret. The cupbearer then remembered Joseph, told Pharaoh about him, and Pharaoh summoned Joseph to interpret his dream. His dream was that 7 sleek fat cows came out of the Nile River. Then 7 horribly thin cows came out of the Nile and swallowed up the fat cows. Joseph said that the fat cows represented 7 good years of harvest that were coming. The 7 skinny cows symbolized 7 years of famine that would follow. Joseph recommended that Pharaoh should build storehouses and store up enough grain from the 7 good years to see them through the 7 lean years. Not only that, but the Egyptians could sell their excess grain to other starving nations at a great profit and get rich. This, of course, pleased Pharaoh. He put Joseph in charge of the project and made Joseph his second in command over all of Egypt, only beneath Pharaoh himself. Meanwhile, back in the land where Jacob and his sons lived, the famine was devastating. Jacob sent his sons to buy food from the Egyptians so that he and his sons and their families wouldn't starve to death. He didn't send Benjamin, though, the younger son by Joseph's mother. When Joseph's brothers got to Egypt, Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him. They probably thought that Joseph was already dead, and that if he was alive, they certainly would not have expected him to be the vice pharaoh of Egypt, speaking Egyptian with Egyptian clothes and with an Egyptian wife. Joseph concealed his true identity from them and inquired about his father Jacob and his younger brother Benjamin. Then Joseph kind of played a cat and mouse game with his brothers. He accused them of being spies, had them put in jail for a time, and then forced them to bring his brother Benjamin to Egypt. Why would Joseph do this? It really wasn't revenge or spitefulness. After all, Joseph just could have killed them all if he had wanted to. Joseph wanted to observe them to see if they were no longer the jealous, murderous boys who had sold him into slavery. He was testing them to see if they had matured into moral, responsible men. He also wanted proof that they had not harmed his father and his brother Benjamin. Our Old Testament reading today picked up where, after much drama, Joseph reveals who he is to his brothers and he forgives them. He forgives them. To be candid, I'm not sure that I could have given them as quickly and as sincerely if I was Joseph. The Bible said that he gave all of his brothers a kiss and there was weeping. I would have been tempted to give him a kick and there would have been a whooping. But Joseph could see what most of us can't, that God's plans are being worked out in ways that we can't understand. Evil things like human sinfulness try to derail God's intentions, but his will is done eventually. God accomplishes all of his purposes without fail. The forgiveness of such heinous actions has to be divinely inspired. Something like that can only come from God. We look back then at the promise that God made to Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham. God, as we said, promised that he would be a great nation and that through him all the world would be blessed. If all the family of Jacob had died of starvation, then that promise could not have come true. But through all the convoluted path that Joseph was led on, and despite all of the bad things that befell him, God's people were saved, and Jesus Christ came into our world to be our Savior, that great promised blessing. The path that Jesus walked, his passion, his crucifixion, and his death, was much worse than what Joseph suffered. And our sin against Christ is infinitely bigger than Joseph's brother's sin against him. Joseph lovingly, graciously forgave his brothers and gave them the food that they needed to survive. Christ gives us even more than just our daily bread. He gives us his body as bread that sustains us to eternal life through the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus died on the cross, all of humanity's sins were forgiven. Joseph told his brothers not to be anxious about what they had done, about their sin against him. Even more so, Jesus gives us peace in knowing that we are pardoned of our sins. Therefore, we can live in peace and security with God and with one another. You can live that way today. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.